brings us to. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2387, Consolidated Edison Development Incorporated.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR General Residential District for a solar farm to be located on a certain portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 17.04 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the north and south sides of Hastings Lane and the west side of Bi-State Boulevard, which is Route 13A, approximately 0.37 mile north of Old Crow Road, which is Sussex County Route 503B. The 911 address is 10311 Hastings Lane, Delmar, and the tax parcel ID is District 532, Map 13, Parcel 22.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibits, we have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, we also have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response, and I would note we've received zero comments. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, for the record, my name is Joe Shanahan, appearing on behalf of the applicant. Conditional use number 2387 is our Delmar D project located at 10311 Hastings Lane, Delmar, Delaware. For the purpose of this public hearing, I respectfully request that my testimony presented in connection with public hearing on conditional use 2381, including the introductions, the IWE profile, the general characteristics of community solar projects in Delaware, and the attributes which these seven projects have in common be entered into the record.
So granted.
Thank you. The specifics of this site, all as shown on the site plan submitted, are the lease conditional use area is 16.97 acres on an overall 54.49 acre property. Setback is 410 feet, accessed by a 20-foot wide gravel driveway. The site is undeveloped and currently used as a part of the family farm. There are no wetlands on the project site. The site is owned by Rufus Lester Skip Ammons and his wife Charlotte Ammons, who live on the property and with their daughter and son-in-law operate a farm and a farm equipment and seed business there. He's still here. Skip Ammons is here this evening. So. Skip and his family asked that I read the following statement on their behalf into the record. To whom it may concern, my wife and I would ask that you consider the approval of a solar panel project on a small acreage of our family farm. My wife's parents purchased this farm in 1945 with the intent of it being a family farm for generations to come. We are the second generation, and upon our death, our two children will become the third generation. At this time, we have grown grandchildren who represent the fourth generation. We presently have three generations living on the farm. We see this project to be a win-win thing. It will bring financial stability to the farm operation and will provide financial support in the form of discounts on their electric bills to the surrounding community. We also have strong feelings about not only present, but also the future need for electric power. Thank you for your consideration in this matter, Lester and Charlotte Ammons. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, before I close on this conditional use 2387 and the six other applications for conditional use, I would like to take the opportunity to thank Executive Director Jamie Whitehouse and your planner, Michael Lowry, for their guidance and assistance with these applications and the processes over the last 15 months. It has been greatly appreciated. Once again, I thank you for your attention to this testimony. And if the chair or the commission or the public have any questions, I'd be glad to address them. I'd also, just for the record, Mr. Chairman, like to indicate that I've been doing this kind of work for some 40 years now. And while there have been occasions when I've had seven public hearings in a night, I've never done them in less than an hour.
Well, you're not done yet. Anything can happen.
Bite your tongue.
But, yeah, right.
That's
Wingate.
I have no questions, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Mears?
No questions, sir.
Collins?
No questions.
Staff?
Thank you. Just an observation, and I don't want to prolong this. You know, it's one of those things where
It occurred to me that, like, and this is, I don't take this as a negative towards the application, just an observation. This one, the last three were zoned GR, you know, and GR is our highest density by right residential. And I was kind of like wondering, well, you know, does it make sense to take that out of possible production for housing? You know, but then I look on the site, and for what, this whole area is zoned GR out on the western side of the county, and it's all farmland. That makes me just wonder why it was ever zoned GR in the first place. It makes no sense. You know?
I've been here a long time, but I wasn't there when that happened.
Yeah, no, it probably goes back to 1971. I mean, because
I don't know how that happened. I've wondered that myself because I happen to live on that side of the county.
Yeah, you look out and there's lots of big chunks of GR out there, and just, and again, an observation as to why. You know,
I don't know. So, all right. Yeah. Well, I actually do have a question. Okay, and it is, it's kind of a general question. Kind of speaks to all of your applications, and it speaks to solar and the process in general. We have approved
13
of these across the county.
Maybe 14 with the one earlier. Did we have one? No, we didn't have one today. No. Yeah, no.
And we have yet.
No time to stop now, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I think that I think we've sort of demonstrated that we certainly have a understand the value and importance of it. And
I would agree.
And I have had personal experience with it, so I'm. You know, I understand it. My question, though, is we have yet to see a preliminary site plan submitted on any of them yet. And my curiosity is, are these speculative in the sense that you don't really know if you're going to be permitted or chosen or whatever by the power company or whoever does the choosing to put a solar facility on each one of these? And are you just getting all of these approved and then hope you get two or three of them? How does it work?
I'll add to that. Maybe the question's not so much to Consolidated Edison, but the industry.
The industry.
I understood it to be exactly that.
No, it's not you. It's you all are doing it, okay? So.
I would indicate to you, if I may, at the risk of going over my record 47 minutes.
No, you're in good shape. You're in good shape.
With regard to the industry, there are a lot of, quote, developers, unquote, and I truly mean air quote developers.
Understood.
Who, once the Delaware legislation was approved, became land prospectors. With the idea of let's get as many sites as we can under control. We know we're never going to develop them for solar, but then we are approached by a number of these people who say, oh, have I got the site for you?
Yeah, they flip them, yeah.
So there is speculation in that area. I started with Con Edison before they were acquired by RWE. Neither of those companies are in the speculation business. Most of our projects we permit, we construct, and we operate. That's not 100%. I can't guarantee that's going to happen in Delaware either. But all of these sites are vetted. We do what's called a solar site assessment. We hire people like Bergman and like Langen, and they do a full analysis of the zoning, the permitting requirements, et cetera. We also do an interconnection preliminary study because it does no good to go out and spend $125,000 to engineer one of these projects and get it permitted and not be able to plug it into the grid.
Yeah.
So we are fairly certain by the time I stand in front of you that we will be interconnected. The one thing, and with all due respect to Delmarva Power, I've done these in innumerable states. I've never dealt with a utility company that's as difficult and as slow as Delmarva. Our applications, I mean, the one comforting thing, and I've had this discussion with Mr. Lowry, you know, normally a developer would go nuts waiting 15 months for a public hearing, but you haven't slowed us down one bit because Delmarva is still months away from acting on any one of our applications. We have nine of them in. They've been in for Well, they were in before our application, so they've been in 2 years, November 1st.
Wow.
And they've only started one study out of the 10 projects to move forward. So it's not speculation. We fully intend to go forward, but I won't tell you it's going to be in a hurry.
Do you have projects in Pennsylvania?
No, we do not.
You do not, okay. Other places that Exelon does business? I'm just curious if it's something unique to Delaware or if it's that company in particular.
I hesitate on the record to tell you. I'm very convinced this is unique.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
Unique to this one area. Particular utility.
Okay. All right. Thank
is
you.
It such a thing where it's like, you know, first in as far as, you know, like with the Delmarva Power, for example, is, you know, and do they have a certain number or a quota that they'll, or I don't even know, our capacity or whatever? I'm just trying to.
There is a certain limited capacity, and it is first in, but when you apply your internet connection application, we applied at 11 a.m. on November 1st, 2021. Everyone in the state of Delaware at 11 a.m. on that date pressed the button. We had 10 different people at 10 different computers pressing the button. So it's first in, first served,
right.
But they're literally seconds apart. So yeah. It really doesn't make that much
sense. And I appreciate the answers because, you know, we're learning this, you know, ourselves from the applications that come forward. And it was kind of a question that arose as to, and again, it's not something that will impact your applications at all. It's just more of a learning experience right. For us. How come we've seen all these, you know, and we just haven't seen any built? And I don't, it's more why, not that that's a negative,
if
just
I
the
may,
why.
May, when you talk about speculation, a statistic that I think is very telling. There were 204 applications filed on that date with Delmarva Power. As of our conference call on Tuesday, the 26th, out of those 204, they now only have 114 active applications.
Wow.
All of those other people, whether it was because of speculation, they've all dropped out.
Oh, they dropped out.
Yep.
Oh, they've all dropped out. And the reason we ask that is that, you know, land use actions like changes of zone and conditional uses really aren't speculative tools.
They're not supposed to be.
Speculation is not an appropriate reason for requesting a rezoning. As our counsel just said, nothing to do with your applications, we understand. But we were wanting to understand the process a little bit better, so we appreciate your
It's a large investment of time and money to get to this point.
I have more experience than I can take the time to tell you about right now.
But I would describe it this way. We're used to land use, that there's a land use process where you go through, you know, I call it the car wash of state agencies, and at the end of the day, you get a final site plan approval. It sounds like in your industry, you go through that, but then you still have a whole nother process as you're dealing with the utility company, you know, that may or may not take.
I suspect they're going to go through the utility company process first before they.
Well, no, I know, right? Yeah, right. At the same time, but still.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you again.
With that, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the day to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.